Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us his grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of his kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
Hallelujah. Let's get into the word. Tonight we won't talk about the man and the mission. The man and the mission. Then to your left, right, welcome someone to church excitedly. Tell them to cheer up. And tell them Jesus is everything. Say it to them again. Probably they didn't get you well. Wave three people you know in church from where you don't stand up and tell them Jesus is everything. Some people have done five. 2 Peter 1:3 says the following. It's not really my focal point tonight, but I just felt like we should add it. While I was about to start teaching, the Lord led me to sing the last hymn. And while I was wondering why, I knew in my spirit that is a word for someone here. The Lord said, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus. Isn't it? From verse 3 now. Let's see verse 3. It says, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertains to what? Life. But maybe we'll try to build a little bit so that you understand why we say Jesus is everything. It says grace and peace. Grace, God's ability to work things for you and through you, and peace, interpreted in the Hebrews, is shalom shalom, meaning peace on every side of your life, meaning you have no problem at all. The Bible says such grace and peace can be multiplied, meaning it can be spread around every facet of your life. But the Bible says this can only happen at the knowledge of God through the revelation of Jesus Christ. Somebody said, but Pastor, I didn't see true there. Now, the word and in Greek is kai, K-A-I. In this interpretation here, the word is K-A-I. And like I said, anytime you try to, you want to check and understand a particular scripture properly, don't just assume that what and means here is what it means everywhere. Are we together? Because English is a baby language compared to Greek and Hebrew. Alright? They have a lot of words compared to English. So, of course, if you use your logical mind, you understand that the interpretation will be very difficult. Trying to interpret from a language that has more ambiguous and plenty words than a baby language that has barely words compared to that language. Are we together? And so they repeat some words. They repeat a lot of words. Alright? In the old KJV, they always wrote the ones they are not sure of in Italics. But as people kept on translating the Bible, I mean, having different rendition, they left all those laws. Now, people that knew about the old KJV will understand that any word in Italics is not the original word. The interpreter is trying to tell you that, I am not sure of what is here. Go and check the original in the Hebrew. Are we together? Well, as time went by, people neglected those laws. Are we together? Alright, so the word there, and is kai. It works like a semicolon, more like a bridge, making you understand that the knowledge of God is not possible until you understand Jesus Christ. Affirming the very words of Jesus in John 14, he says, he that has seen me has what? Seen the one that has what? Sent me. In other words, when you know Jesus, you will know God. Meaning Jesus is a revelation of God. That simply means our interpretation in Greek then is true because it fulfills, it doesn't negate the very truth of God's word. Right? It affirms it. So you can only know God through the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Because God is invisible. Alright? But the Bible calls Jesus the following in Colossians 1:13, I guess. Jesus, he said, he delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into his kingdom. You know, the kingdom of his son, of his love. You know, next part of scripture, I think it's 15. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Next part of scripture. He is, now Jesus is the image of this invisible God. The firstborn over all creation. He is the image, right? He is the image of the invincible God. Are you seeing that? That simply means God is invisible until Jesus, or God was invisible until Jesus showed up. And now God is no more invisible because Jesus has showed up. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Because Jesus said, he that has seen me has seen the one that has what? The Bible calls him the image. Meaning if you want to see the invisible God, look at Jesus. And somebody is asking, well, Jesus is not in the world today. How then do we keep on seeing this invisible God? The Bible also says in John 1 from 1. Let's see it briefly. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You see that? And somebody is asking, but I didn't see Jesus anywhere here. Next part of scripture. It says, he was in the beginning with God. Next part of scripture. It says, all things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. Next part of scripture. It says, in him was what? Life. And that life became the light of men. Hallelujah. In him was life. And the life is now what? Our light. Next part of scripture. It says, and the light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. You know, we're looking for where it says all of this is Jesus, isn't it? Next part of scripture. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Next part of scripture. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light. Now, he's not the light, but he came to bear witness of what? The light. That all through him might believe. Next part of scripture. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Glory to God. Isn't it beautiful what the Bible said in verse 6? Can we just go there and come back here? This beautiful light. It says, is it verse 6? Verse 5? 5? It says, and the light shines in the darkness. And the darkness did not what? Comprehend it. You see that? So don't be mad when they don't understand you. Don't feel sorry for yourself when the world do not understand you. Are you seeing it from scripture? They can't understand your kind of person. It said the light shines in darkness. It was strange when Jesus found expression. Even religious rulers had a problem with him. They were wondering. We thought we're doing church all this while. We thought we're serving God, and God shows up in church and church rejects God. You know, some people think because they are in a building, then they know God entirely. Look at what the Bible says. The Pharisees said, crucify him, that his blood be upon us and our children. Because he negated their ideologies. Are you listening to me? They didn't understand him. How can you be practicing religiously a God for several years and the God shows up and you don't recognize him? Now, you think what had happened many years ago cannot happen today again? It's happening. It's happening. There are a lot of people in church buildings that don't know God. It's so sad. I mean, God has come to them and they have a problem with God. And somebody may ask, did Jesus go to them? He sent his word to them. They heard his word. They rejected him. In other words, if Jesus was alive today on the earth, if he was walking, living on the earth today, going to different assemblies, corners of the earth, and speaking the word, they will reject him. If they rejected his word, if they are rejecting his word, they will reject Jesus too. You see that? This our generation are not better than the generation that said, crucify him. Are you seeing that there's no difference? You know, sometimes when we watch those movies, we're like, these people are wicked people. Think about it. A man comes to you and said, I am light of the world. What of sunlight? What happens to sunlight? He comes to you and says, I'm light of the world. What is wrong with sunlight? He didn't stop there. He said, as the Father has life, so do I. You know, he said somewhere in scripture like that. He didn't just stop there. He went to their tradition. He saw them doing one of their gracious feasts. It was called the Feast of Living Waters. That feast entails that they will go to the temple, and when it was time to celebrate the feast, they will pour water up. When it falls to the ground in the temple, they will not be celebrating. That one day, God will come like very waters. That's how they celebrated the feast. They never knew that the Old Testament was a shadow pointing to the new. Now, the real object that they have been visioning a long time ago in the Old Testament just found expression. Jesus Christ, the living water, the true living water. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Now, he's the end of the practice. For instance, this is what I mean. When Jesus showed up, there was no need to kill a lamb again. Why? He's the lamb that takes away what? Now, there were several practices like that that pointed to Jesus. So, if anybody kills a lamb today, then they don't understand what Jesus came to do. If anybody gets into water, physical water today, they don't understand what Jesus came to do. Because Jesus is not a chief priest. He's not a babalawo. Now, whatever you saw in the Old Testament and through the time of Jesus before he went to the cross was the practice of the law. It started with John the Baptist, remember. The Bible calls John the Baptist that he is not the light, but he came to bear witness of the light. Meaning a practice that started with John the Baptist is not a guarantee that it is the original practice. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Because he was coming to bear witness to the light. He is the last prophet from the law. And that is why Jesus, when speaking to Nicodemus, compared being born again to getting into water. Remember, he said, water, remember Kai now, the law of Kai, which is the spirit. Are you getting confused? Water, instead of saying, and now, I say, which is. Do you understand what I'm trying to say now? Because when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, and he teaches you the word of God, the effect is as if somebody is washing you off with what? Water. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Little wonder when you got into water, or when water was sprinkled on you, no offense, nothing truly happened to you. But the moment you were filled with the Holy Spirit, or the moment you heard God's word, you could tell that something changed from your inside out. Because the originality, the real meaning of getting into water is being washed by the word of God. And that's why Jesus said to us in Ephesians 5, from verse 25, it said, husband, love your wife as what? And he gave himself for her and washed her by the washing of the word. You see that? As we read there, you'll get to understand better. Go back to where we were in John. Hallelujah to Jesus. That simply means the true purpose, the true meaning of getting into water has been washed by the word of God through the Holy Spirit. And that's why Jesus said, it is expedient that I go so that the Holy Spirit will what? Come. Are you here tonight? He said, and the light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Now go back to 8. We were in 8. He was not the light, John the Baptist, but sent to bear witness of that light. Next part of scripture. Then it says, that was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. Next part of scripture. It says, He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. Interesting. The world was made through him, yet the world did not what? That was not enough. Even the people that claimed they were serving him did not know him. Hallelujah to Jesus. It's so sad. Next part of scripture. It says, he came to his own. That's my point. I've been saying this. He came to his own, meaning the church of his days. And his own did not what? It was so sad. Do you know that Jesus wept here? If we look at Matthew's rendition, he wept. The Bible says he had to cry. He said, "Oh Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how have I longed to gather you as a mother hen will want to gather her chicks." He said, "But you negated me. You refused me." And the Bible says he wept. Then he said to them, "Where there are carcasses, the eagles will come and feast." Meaning he called them dead. He described the church of his days dead. He said, that is why the carcasses, judgment will come upon you. He prophesied the destruction of Jerusalem temple, which happened. The Romans took over them afterwards. Why? How can there be a church and a temple and the Romans will come, destroy the temple? Nothing happened to the Romans. Because Jesus is not in the temple. Jesus is in you. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. He's not in any building. You brought him into this building. When you live here, you live with him. The effect of his presence can be here, but the real presence is in you. Wherever you take, wherever you go to, that's where the presence of God is. Are you listening to me? Very important. And that is why they were destroyed. The Romans took over the Jerusalem. Go on, make your research. The Romans took over Jerusalem. Jerusalem became one of their colonies. Are we together? And they ruled Jerusalem for several years, as Jesus prophesied. Why? Because the church did not accept him. He came to his own, and his own word received him not. In other words, it's not enough to call yourself church. The true definition of a church entails that the gate of hell will not what? Prevail. When it seems like the gate of hell is prevailing, then something is wrong with the true state of the church. Because the true state of the church entails that the gate of hell will not what? Prevail. It said if you are built on Christ, the gate of hell will not what? Are you here? You know, one of my friends showed me a post 2 days back. It was a suggestion in the House of Reps that Nigeria should be Islamized. Now, if I heard it as rumor that some people want Nigeria to be Islamized but never brought it to the House of Reps, I wouldn't bother. Because it's just rumor. And it's vain thinking. But somebody in the House of Reps had the impetus to stand up, some sort of people, and suggest that our nation should be Islamized. It got to me. He posted it and he was so angry. I thought about it for a moment. I said, we have a lot of Christians in this nation. And some people feel like this nation should be Islamized. Is something not wrong somewhere? Something is, for them to even have the impetus to suggest it, it means something is wrong with the true state of the church. I said something is wrong. If the church is truly alive in this nation, no man can have that impetus. How dare you to stand up and suggest that we should come to a point in this nation where we are under pressure to do certain things because we have being Islamized. You know, if you don't know what Islamization means, think about Turkey. Go make your research. If you know who Turkey used to be in Bible days, you'd be so amazed. And I was wondering, and I thought about it for a moment, and I remembered a time in this nation that people felt like two Muslims should rule this nation. I mean, they were not Muslims suggesting. I'm talking about Christians. So-called Christians. 1 Corinthians 5 from 10. Paul spoke about some so-called Christians. Now, I was speaking to leaders yesterday in the meeting and I said to them, nothing is more painful to see people who claim are Christians behaving like pagans. Nothing is more painful. Now, listen, I'm not suggesting that Christians should be like the other religion. We should stand up and be violent. No. But I hope you understand that Christianity is an agenda. Beyond just coming to church, I hope you understand that God has called you for a purpose as a Christian. Are you listening to me tonight? It's an agenda. How do we know people don't understand that Christianity is an agenda? When we see Christians living in worldliness, we understand they don't understand the purpose of their being as Christians, their call as Christians. This is the effect we are seeing today. I mean, there are so Christians that some Christians have told us, I mean, you guys have been too Christian, too much of a Christian. It's okay if these people rule. It's okay. Now we are seeing the effect. Probably you ate the money, you had a good time, but look at the effect. If your children come to this nation, rise in this nation one day and hear that you were part of a movement that made them all succumb to this kind of situation, if it happened, God forbid. Wherever you are in the realm of the spirit, you will be a disgrace. God never created us to live for ourselves. We were designed for His glory. Are you here? We were not designed for our belly. If you live for your belly, you are a mere mortal. You are nothing. It is a sign of worldliness. Now imagine there was no money in this world. Will you be doing what you are doing? Will you be pursuing what you are pursuing? If the answer is no, you are not living for the right cause. You must live for something bigger than money. That's what the Bible said. It said the kingdom of God is not to the end of eating and drinking. You know what that means? Everything man does in this world can be summarized. The end product of everything man does in this world, most human beings, the end product of it is eating and what? Drinking. The reason why they pursue careers and the rest is so that they have what to eat and what? Drink. God said that is not the kingdom of God. He said the kingdom of God is what? Righteousness. He said what? Peace. Joy. Then he said what? Peace. In what? The Holy Spirit. Meaning the kingdom of God is knowing who God wants you to be exactly. He said that way you will begin to enjoy joy, true joy. We were making a research yesterday and I told some friends. I said, do you realize that people commit suicide so much in America, Europe, than Africa? They said, yes. I said, why? They have everything they need, isn't it? People have money and everything, yet they want to kill themselves. Why? You know, you think you need money. That's all you need. When you get money now and have all the kind of money you want, you start looking for another thing. Because you think all your satisfaction will come when you have money. That's what you think. The moment $5 billion hit your account and it can sponsor your ability to be as worldly as you want. You know what I mean by that? It sponsors your ability to be as worldly as you want. I mean, you can have all the women you want in this world. You can drink all the alcohol you want in this world. When you do everything and finish, what else? You begin to ask yourself a question. What else? What else? That is when you understand that money cannot make somebody really satisfied. When Jesus told you, I'm the bread that when you eat, you will hunger no more. He was not kidding you. He was not lying. He was telling you fact. That He is the true satisfaction of life in the heart of every human being. If you truly, but I've been in church for several years. I don't have satisfaction. To be in church for several years is not the same as knowing Jesus. Like a man of God said, being in a car park. How many of you have been in car parks before? You stood in car parks. That doesn't change you into being a motor car. Same way, being in a church building doesn't change you or doesn't automatically mean that you are a Christian. Now, we're not trying to condemn. We're trying to bring you into your original essence. Before you got into your mother's womb, God had a purpose for you. He had a design for you. The Bible said we're created in His what? Image. And what? If you don't touch this reality, you will never find fulfillment as a man. You keep on pursuing a lot of things. I'm sure you've seen people that smoke and there is no end to the smoking. Anytime they feel like getting satisfied again, they smoke. They smoke. Same with people that womanize. They womanize over 1,000, 1,500, even if it's 5,000, yet they are not satisfied. They still want to go more. Why? There's no satisfaction there. Are you listening to me? Am I saying it's wrong to pursue a career? No. But while pursuing a career, understand first that you are God's image and what? Likeness. Such that in that system, the devil cannot use you, but God alone can what? Use you. Imagine you are a military man that first understood that he was God's image and likeness before he became a military man. Who do you think can make that military man misbehave? System. God will use that military man to change the system. He cannot bend to the system. Imagine you were a doctor before you got to the hospital. I mean, you were God's image and likeness before you became a doctor. You can't look at a patient dying and be gisting. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain? You can't. Because you know the purpose, the value of life. Imagine you were God's image and likeness. You knew that before you became a mechanic. You can't lie to nobody. Imagine how the world will be if everybody understands they are God's image and likeness. There will be no stealing. Imagine. Now, picture it carefully. This is what God wanted from the beginning. He created man in his what? If everybody was like what God wanted in the beginning, would there be crime in this world? Would there be stealing in this world? Would there be wickedness in this world? What exalts a nation then? Righteousness. He said, but sin is a word, reproach. In other words, the only way this country will change is when you understand that Christianity is an agenda. Get everybody to understand their God's image and likeness. It's not by fighting. When God wanted to cause a new day in the church of the Bible days, he caught Paul. I hope you know prior to that time, the church were praying. They were praying. And God caught Paul. He asked Paul, why are you persecuting me? Paul said, I did not touch you. He said, you are persecuting my people. He didn't kill Paul. Did he kill Paul? He got Paul changed. Now look at the movement that God started with Paul. If anybody told Paul that Paul was going to be an apostle, he would have not believed. Just like some of us seated here. If they tell you, imagine, I just want you to answer this question. Just listen to me very personally. Imagine I tell you now that you are the next apostle to cause the major move of God on the earth. Imagine I just told you that. Will you believe that? You are not worse than Paul. Paul said, I'm the chief of sinners. He called himself the chief sinner. Nobody called him. He described himself like that. He said, I'm the chief sinner. Yet, God used me. In other words, if you are here thinking you are a sinner, Paul said, I'm ahead of you. And God used Paul in such a great way. He never used any apostle like that. Are you listening to me? Imagine Paul never knew. Just imagine Paul never knew that God wanted to use him. Imagine Paul never entered into his call. Will it not be a loss to the kingdom of God? Look at the great and mighty things God did through Paul. That's how some of us are seated here. Satan is fighting you because he knows the call of God upon your life. He knows what God wants to do with your life. Are you listening to me? That is why he's disturbing your life like this. Like I was singing about God being so good. You know, some of us, if you are very sincere, you woke up one morning probably, and you were wondering, why have I not died? With all the bad things I've done, why have I not been killed? There's something upon your life. There's something on your life. Are you listening to me? You know, the call is bigger than challenges. How did I know that? The call of God is bigger than even your sin. How did I know that? Look at everything Paul did. Standing, holding the cloth for people to kill Philip. Stephen, they killed, he held the cloth for them. He said, kill him. They killed Stephen, he gave them back their cloth. They left. He was excited. He frontiered the killing of a lot of apostles. A lot of Christians. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Yet, God did not kill him because there was a call upon his life. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? He said, my word does not return to me void. Meaning, if I've said something on the earth, it must happen. If I've said Paul is supposed to be an apostle, it doesn't matter what Paul is doing right now. Paul must become an apostle. His word never returns to him void. Same way I'm talking to you tonight. It's never too late. God is going to bring his word to pass in your life in the name of Jesus Christ. The Bible says he came to his own and his own did not receive him. Next part of scripture. 12. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become his children. To those who believe in his name, give me this in the Amplified rendition. Then we go back to the NKJV. Everybody read. Want to go. What did he give them? The right, the power, the authority, the privilege to be called what? His children. Other version said sons of God. Right heir to the throne of God. Sons of God. Next part of scripture. We were traveling somewhere, isn't it? Who were born not of blood, natural conception. Isn't this interesting? The Bible says you were not born, but you remember you were born of blood. It said, who were born not of blood, natural conception, nor of the will of the flesh, physical impulse. You know what that means? It means God is saying your new birth as a Christian is not a function of what your father and mother felt and went to the bed and discovered you 9 months later. He said, that's not what happened right now. It's not natural conception. He said, not of the will of man, that of a natural father. That is why you come to a point sometime in your life that even your father will not understand you. He says, Sonny, is it not me that born you? What are you talking like this? You are an Idoma boy, oh. Bebe. You tell your dad, I'm a new creation. He said, what? What is wrong with this one? You tell your dad, I don't take Burkutu. He said, Jesus Christ, in our lineage, we're in charge of that realm. Nobody took it like us. It would be a taboo that you don't take it. In fact, people will not know that I am your father. The way, in fact, you don't need to introduce yourself. Just go there. The way you shout, they'll ask you, are you the son of? Well, how would you say you don't take such a thing? You don't even like it. They bring it close to Sonny. He smells it. Oh, my stomach. What? Say, go and check this boy. Are you sure the mother did not see her ex? You know, the popular DNA thing that is happening today. Hallelujah to Jesus. Why? Something has happened to you. You know what happened to you? You know, the Bible says that in James 1, is it 14? Let's see briefly before we come back here. James 1, 14. Same rendition. It was of his own will that he gave us birth. As his what? How are we giving birth? By the word of truth. So that we will be what? A prime example of what he created to set apart to himself, sanctified, made holy for his word, divine. There's another rendition in 1 Peter. It says we were born again by the incorruptible seed of God's word. It is not corruptible. There's no corruption in that seed. Say, I'm perfect. You know, I'm sure you've heard a lot of music that suggests you are not perfect. But who are they? They were created. How can your fellow creation tell you about you more than the one that created you? Whose report will you believe? Who knows Toyota like Toyota Company? Who knows Honda? Imagine Honda is telling you about Toyota. And you are believing Honda. Or the devil telling you about yourself. You are believing the devil. A former Satanist said something. You see, if Satan tells you he's mourning, go and check. He was a former Satanist. He's now born again. They granted him an interview. You see, if Satan tells you it's mourning, go and check. It may be night. He's a liar. He's not just a liar. The Bible calls him the father of all lies. Father of all lies. Meaning if you like lie. You have a connection with this guy. He is the father of all lies. Are you here tonight? If he tells you you are weak, you are strong. If he says you are a sinner, you are the righteous. Anything he tells you, know that you are the opposite of it. If he tells you good money, go and check. If he says you can sell your soul to the devil, know that you cannot. They asked the Satanists, they said, people sell their souls to the devil, is it true? He said, nobody can sell his soul because the devil is a liar. He just lied to them. Nobody, because they don't own their soul. God owns all souls. He's the father of all. Satan does not own it. He just wants to lie to them and keep them in a cage. Just like some cultists, they tell them you can never become anything because you are a cultist. Who are they to tell you that? Human discovery. Something that if God just do like this, they will go. If they are that strong, they should live forever. No matter how powerful they think they are, there's an end for them. And listen, your end may be this girl. Yeah, stand up and look at them. Your end. Stand up. Your end may be this girl. That is the truth. No matter how powerful a courtesy you are, this lady may end you. Think about David. Which courtesy in this town is as big as Goliath? If this girl understands warfare, paras kupai. If this girl mean you came and touch her father's land, she will not, no problem, mommy, leave him. There's a place I will meet him. I don't know what he thinks he has. I will meet him somewhere. It's called the secret place. And the Bible says, they that dwell under the secret place of the Most High shall abide what? Under the shadow. These things are real. Are you listening to me? David said, you came to me with a machete. Small me. You came to me with dagger, everything. He said, but I come to you in the name. And when they check him, the only thing he had was something close to catapult. I hope you know it's not as good as this, our own. That we draw like this. His own was like this. How many of you can carry that into war? That's why his elder brother another, almost beat him up. The elder brother said, you have come with this in your mouth. Yeah, 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 yeah. Talk, talk, get up from here. You see, that's one thing that happens to you when you capture the word of God. You become a talker. They say this one too, they make mouth. See, it's not, now, make sure, the difference between somebody that truly makes mouth and the one that doesn't make mouth is the substance. If you are somebody that don't have the word of God and you talk too much, you will die very well. They will kill you. But if you are speaking from substance, imagine David, Jesus Christ. Imagine the beautiful words from his mouth. The Bible said, when Goliath looked at him, he said, you people, are you looking down on me? Is this thing? Are you people? He became angry. Goliath became so angry. You people, I came to all of you guys. Are you people stupid? He wanted to chop him. He said, I'll just chop this one and go and kill all of you. Instead of David to just have fear now and say, God, are you sure it will work? God, please, oh Lord, in the name of Jesus, strike him dead. Mm-mm. David did not just behave calm or humble, should in case he dies, so that it would not be like God was mocked. David spoke. You came to me. Imagine the words. You know, it sounds so holy because it's scriptures. Imagine somebody saying, you come to me with dagger and this and that. Imagine the way he was saying it. You think it's, you came to me with this and that and this. No. He probably was like, you came to me with the cutlass. With that one, that one. But you see me, I am coming to you and I'm here in the name of the Lord. So wise of the army of Israel, the one you are trying to defy his army. He implicated Goliath by the reason of the covenant. He said, you own self. He didn't say Goliath. How you describe your mountain matters. Get seated. It truly matters. He didn't say Goliath. He said, you uncircumcised Philistine that stand before the army of the Lord. Don't call it mountain again. Describe that mountain from a covenant point of view. Tell somebody you are mountain eaters. And the Bible says, he said, I'm not going to kill you alone. Listen to the words of David. He said, I will kill you. Then I imagine David saying, shift more. And all those your boys behind, I'll finish them. Look, the people are very wise. The boys were very wise. Immediately David killed that boy. Now, there's something again he said. Oh, are you here? He said, I will not just kill you. I'll pluck off your head. At that point, David did not have cutlass. No machete. What did he have? His swing, aka catapult, holding this catapult. That's what he had. What will he use to cut the head? He didn't care. He didn't care. You know, sometimes when you get into that thing you are trying to do, you will find everything in the thing. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Do you know what he used to kill Goliath? His own cutlass. His own machete. When he hit Goliath and he fell to the ground, he took his machete and plucked off his head. The solution is in daring those problems. Are you here tonight? That's not where we are going to, but learn from it. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You know, we are talking about the man and the mission. And do you know, for several years, David has been preparing for this day. When the Lord gave him a smaller task, he was so ignored in his family. He was the one going to do kiwo. In Hausa, kiwo means shepherding the flocks. He's the one that takes the cows, the goats, the rams to the forest to go and eat food. He was the one doing that. Every other guy was a big boy in the family, such that when Samuel came to anoint the next king, alright, the Bible said, Samuel said, God said the next king of Israel is in your house. He said to Jesse, right? The Bible said, when the man brought all of his children, he didn't say there is one. When he brought that one, he was so giant looking, so fine. And Samuel said, even me, I can relate that this is the person. Fine man. And God said, don't dare touch him. He's not the one. He's not the one. That means that fine man you are thinking may not be the one. I got you. Chest, beard, gun may not be the one. Is it that one like this? Like David. Because God does not look at this. He looks at the heart. He knows the one that will pay your bills eventually. He knows the one that will be broke very soon. Don't be looking at the status quo. Are you here? The Bible said, when he said, is there another boy? He said, these are all my children. I wonder which one. He said, no. I remember all. There is one. Imagine your father forget that he gave birth to you. How will you feel? Just imagine you came by and they say, they take all of us. We can't even forget, say you be our brother self. Now later we can't remember. Because he's not always at home. Every time, Kiwo, 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 Shanu, Kiwo, Shanu. Say, run and call David. Run and call David. Unknown to them, in that forest, David had killed several lions. I hope you know. You know, there's a man in scripture that killed lion with his bare hands. And people are shouting and shouting. There was another man who, not as big as David. Read the book of Hebrews 11. The Bible says, by faith, David, he slew lions. The Bible did not say lion. Lions for Samson, they say one lion. But for David, lions and bears. He killed them. I'm doing my hand like this. I'm not sure he's with hand. Anyhow, but he killed them. So if he had faced, you know, in the little assignment God gave him through his father, he was able to do it well. Protect the animals. In, you know, because you see, what capacity, listen carefully, what capacity did David truly have to protect all of those animals? No capacity. Physically, David was not strong, according to the Bible, right? He didn't have a gun. There was no gun in their days. What capacity? A willing heart. David wanted to do his father's work with the whole of his heart. The father gave him an assignment. He didn't want to see that the team faltered. I can just imagine a lion coming. If you were the one, you were not even happy they sent you to go and shepherd the sheep, right? And you see lion coming, what will you do? You will thank God because you will never enter that forest again, probably. But I'm sure David looked at him and said, no, my dad gave me an assignment. How will my dad feel? No, my dad said I should take care of them. Because he was so willing to make sure that what the dad said comes to pass. He had the ability, somehow the ability found expression. He thought about something. There are lions in this place. Yet my dad said I should be here. Lord, give me an idea. Give me a way to protect these animals that my father gave me an assignment for. And I'm sure that's how he discovered a way to kill lions and what? Yes. When you are willing to do what God has told you to do, whether it's small from the depth of your heart, that is when you develop capacity for the big things. It's in doing the small one very well that you develop what? Capacity for the big things. Are you here tonight?
Glory to God forevermore.
Amen. They were not aware. And listen carefully. Do you know that David truly killed Goliath? Plucked his head off. And remember, he had told the people, I will not only cut his head, I will also cut all of you your head. So when they saw their ogre dead, and they remembered the words of David, what did they do? The Bible said they ran for their lives. Because the first thing he promised that he will do, he did it. You see, when you understand the covenant, right, you don't keep quiet. You talk like David. Are you listening to me? You can't understand this word of God. He said, let the redeemer of the Lord say so. You know you are redeemed. It's not enough. Say it. They say you talk too much. That's how you were designed. Even your God speaks. He got things done by speaking. Let there be light. There was light. Let there be this. It came to pass. When it came to you, he didn't say let there be you. The Bible said, he now took his time and crafted you in his image and likeness. In his image and likeness. Now, if you imagine things and see things and live like God upon the face of the earth as he is in heaven, then how should you behave? It simply means God's characteristics is your own. The Bible says, as he is, so are. In this present world, another part of scripture, it says, we are partakers of his divine nature. In other words, if God gets things done by speaking, he will not get things done for you by doing it for you. He will do it for you by giving you his ability to get them done. How does he get things done? By speaking. How do you get things done? Where the word of a king is. He didn't say, I will heal the sick for you. He said, heal the sick. He said, people of God, raise the dead. He said, cleanse the lepers. You have an idea what God is now saying. God looked at you, he said, heal the sick. Raise the dead. He now said what? Remember what Jesus said. As the Father has life in himself, so do I. He didn't stop there. He said, the enemy has come, but to what? To what? And to what? He said, but I am come that you may have life. Life in abundance. Say to someone, I have life in abundance. He said, the first man of the earth is earthly, a living soul. He said, but the second man, a life-giving spirit. It didn't stop there. He said, as you bore the image, past tense, as you bore the image of the first man, now in Christ, so are you bearing the image of the second man. Say, I'm a life-giving spirit. Say, nothing dies around me. Say it like you mean it. Say, nothing dies around me. I refuse to be sick. I can walk in sin. Now say it like you mean it. Say, I cannot walk in sin. Pastor, what do you mean? Are you sick? No, I'm not. 1 John 3 and 9. It said, they that are born of God. Let's read together. 1 John 3 and 9. Everyone read. No, let's have it in the AKJV. This is so plenty. One to go. Whoever has been born of God does not sin. Because we just left James 1:14 that said we've been given birth by what? The word of God. First Peter said we're given birth by the incorruptible seed of God's word. He said this is our new birth. It's not a function of father and mother decision. Let's go back in John 1. He said it's not a function of mother and father decision. Do you believe the word of God, people of God? You see, these are things you need to know to be fortified as the man God will use. Because you cannot enter into the field unprepared. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You must get into the field prepared. Do you know how many people left Christianity, left ministry because they cannot live above sin? God cannot be using you to do what you are a victim of. He cannot use you to help people to solve a problem you are a victim of. It's not possible. Nobody will enjoy ministry in sin. Not even you working in the ministry. How will your conscience be when you are telling somebody God can save you from sin and you are a victim of what you are telling the person that God can save him from? It will not be nice. And that's why God wants you to be perfect like him. Are you listening to me? Are you here? He said, we were born not of blood, natural conception, nor of the will of the flesh, physical impulse, nor of the will of man, that is of natural father, but of God, that is a divine and supernatural birth. They are born of God, spiritually transformed, renewed, and sanctified. Born of God, that is divine and what? Spiritual, a divine and spiritual birth. They are born of God, spiritually transformed, renewed, sanctified. Some different. Next part of scripture. These things are in the Bible. They look like fairy tale, but they are true. I know some of us, when we look at it, we're like, are you sure? This is reality. The Bible calls Jesus the way. This is the truth. Your truth is not what you are experiencing now. This is your truth. This is your reality. That is why Jesus did not come as fire. He didn't come as flame. He didn't come as cloud. He came as the word. The word word in Greek means logos. It means God's mindset. 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 God came as a mindset to you. As his mindset to you. So that when you have his mindset, as a man thinketh. So when you start thinking like God, you start acting like God. That's why he came as the word. Nobody changes until from inside out. Dear beloved, I wish above all things, 3 John 2, that you may prosper and be in health, even as your... Meaning you can never prosper beyond the prosperity of your soul. Say, I'm different. Shout it like you mean it. Say, I'm different. That's part of scripture. It says, John testified repeatedly about him and cried out, testifying officially for the record with validity and relevance. This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me has a higher rank than I and has priority over me, for he existed before me. Next part of scripture. Then it says, for out of his fullness, the supernatural abundance of his grace and truth, we have all received grace and upon grace. Spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing. Favor upon favor. And gift and heaped upon gift. Next part of scripture. For the law was given through Moses. Is it but grace? Unearned, undeserved favor of God and truth came through Jesus Christ. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are talking about Jesus. He's the word. Like I said in the very beginning, when you reject the word of God, then you would have rejected him. If you are in the days of the Bible. Because he is the word. Are you listening to me? See, the word of God will be strange a lot of times. Don't get it twisted. A lot of times when you hear, you can't hear God and be okay. His words are far away from the words of man, the thoughts of man. It's not possible to hear God and feel okay. You still maintain your steeze. It's not possible. That God finished speaking and you're like, cool, bro. It's a lie. It will shake you. He says strange things. How can you come to a man, tell him, leave your father's house? He said, okay. I'm taking you to a land. He said, where? He said, just a land. He said, which land? He said, you want to start the land. That's Abraham. He said, you are going to be the first occupant of the land I'm starting. Are you here tonight? Why? Because the father was worshipping an idol and the father would not repent. He had to start a new breed of people with Abraham. Are you here tonight? Glory to God forevermore. Our people say we must go sacrifice every December for my mother's grave. Now our tradition be that. If you do that, you are a pagan. You are not a Christian. But Pastor Simon, there are consequences. Oh, if you don't go and pour the ogogoro on your mother's grave, ogogoro, what a useless God you serve. That uses, that's why you see, all this thinking God, do you observe is useless things they use? How can somebody be going to worship his God with ogogoro? Have you seen people that want to drink, and it's not people that drink juice, it's people that want to drink star, and they open the first gift to the gods. Have you seen people like that? We that take normal drink for normal human beings, we don't do that. But those people, they don't take gold, they open it. When you ask them, what are they doing? They say they are giving their gods. Then they say they are Christians. So you mean you gave Jesus or what? I don't understand. See, when you hear things like this, don't feel sorry for yourself. Oh. As I'm talking like this, I'm so proud of myself. I'm not scared. There are some people that will make you feel like being too much of a Christian is being a coward. No! I was sharing with leaders yesterday. I said, some of you have siblings. You can't talk to them about Jesus because they are your siblings. You don't want to hurt them. I told them, hell is hotter than the hurt you hurt them today. If you truly love them, you will tell them the truth. It's the truth. So I honor my father so much and love him. I cannot tell him that this thing that he's doing is wrong because I really honor him. That honor would take him to hell. He must trust God for wisdom to speak to him about the things he's doing that are wrong. Trust God for wisdom. I don't mean go and talk anyhow. No. Trust God for wisdom. Are you listening to me? A young man met me and he told me the problem he was facing in his house many years ago. That the father would beat the mom, drink alcohol, cheat on her. I said, what position are you in the family? He said, I'm the first boy. I said, how old are you? He said, 23. I said, I didn't say go and beat your father. Did you hear me? He said, yes. I said, the next time he dares to touch your mom, stand up like a lion. I said, Dad, sit down. And share the word of God to him. Did you hear me? He said, yes. I said, I did not say do anything than what I just said. He tried it. He said, Dad, I didn't know my... I said, Pastor, I didn't know my dad can be this humble. I said, that is not humility here too. He just fared small. Keep on preaching the word to him. Don't fight. You know, one time a young man met me many years ago and he was crying in my room many years ago in a compound I used to stay. What's the problem? He said, he doesn't want to go back to the house again. I said, why? He said, my dad is a useless man. My dad is a stupid man. I said, why would you be insulted? Keep quiet. He said, Pastor, leave me alone. He started crying. I said, what is wrong? He said, my dad always cheat on my mom and beat my mom. Today I took something and I hit him on his head. Oh, I couldn't help it. I said, see what the man has caused. This young man would have not believed he would do such a thing one day, but he couldn't bear it. Then he refused to go back home that night. In the middle of the night while we're talking, he said, sir, how can God work with these kind of people? Now, does God expect me to honor my father? I said, yeah, God expects you to honor him. He said, no, I mean what my father is doing, this kind of father I have. I said, yeah, God expects you to honor your father. He said, no, God should understand that he cannot be my father. I said, no, God knows he is your father. He said, what am I supposed to do? I said, go back and sleep. Don't do anything today. I said, find a good time and preach the gospel to your father. He did it. And he was amazed. God moved. Hallelujah to Jesus. He moved. So some of these things, my brother, you must have that impetus. Christianity is an agenda. You cannot be, you know, C.S. Lewis said this, you cannot be sit on the fence. You must be fully a Christian or fully a pagan. You cannot sit on the fence. We were reading the Bible, what did Jesus say? He said the real problem are the people sitting on the fence. If you are not helping me, he said you are part of the destruction. How can you say you are a Christian? You can't remember when last you influenced somebody to come to church. Not just come to church, to become a born again Christian. Full of the Spirit. And I hope you know that Jesus did not say we should go and bring people to church alone. He said we should go and make disciples. If you are not a disciple, you cannot make another disciple. It's not enough to bring people to church. You must make them like Christ. And every Christian has that ability. Are you listening to me? You have the responsibility. You have the ability. The reason why he gave you that responsibility is because he knows he has already put the ability on your inside. Be bold about your faith. Be bold about your faith. Are you listening to me? Don't be scared. Don't allow anybody make you feel like you are small because you represent Jesus. You are light of the world. Jesus told you that. He said no one lights a candle and put under a bushel. Meaning Jesus is saying that in this world, you are not under, you are on top. You are light of the world. Don't be scared. Be bold. When I was growing up in the barracks, I remember when I became born again, they mocked me, my friends. They said he will change back after a while. He will change. He will change. He will start talking like everybody. He will change. And they watched me over the years. I didn't change back. I kept on speaking the same way. Several years. After a while, I will never forget the day I was almost leaving fully. They all came and knelt down. Five of my friends. I said, we have observed your life. We have seen the success. We've seen the evidence of God in your life. Lay hands on our head. I'm not joking. Lay hands on our head. Both Muslims and Christians. We know if you do, we will succeed. I didn't know who taught them. They took some of their best clothes and gave me a seat. I will never forget that day. I was so proud of how much I stood for God. Some of them wanted to be footballers. Some of them wanted to be military men. And I laid hands. All of them, by God's special grace, are succeeding in their field today. All of them. We are the light of the world. We are the light of the world. A city set on the hill. You have the ability. The Bible said, we started with that scripture. 2 Peter 1:3. It said, we have received all for what? We have received all for what? For life and godliness. Meaning you can never have a problem. Are you listening to me? You only have solutions. You can't have problems. You are full of solutions. Before the problem comes, there's a solution. You have received all, not some, all for life, not some part of life. I mean, there's no problem gravitating towards you right now that there's no solution in you to solve. The Bible said, God speaking, he said, I have not allowed any temptation come to you without an ability in you to overcome. In 2 Corinthians 10. Meaning if the problem came, the ability to overcome was already on your inside. Are you listening to me? It's an agenda. The mission is the kingdom. In Luke 24, Jesus told us from 44, he came to preach the kingdom. He came to reveal God's kingdom. What is God's kingdom? As it is in heaven, so should it be upon the face of the earth. What is the means to making sure that this kingdom is a reality? You and I, we are the connecting pipe to make sure heaven flows to the earth. And there's a posture we must sustain in the spirit and in the physical to make sure heaven truly finds expression on the earth. What is that posture? Sonship. If we don't understand our place in Christ and sustain this posture, there is no way heaven will flow to the earth. The Bible says, in a great house are several vessels. It says, some unto honor and some unto what? Dishonor. It says, if a man purges himself from the latter vessel, he becomes a vessel profitable for the master's use. Mark the word, master's use. Meaning, God cannot use everybody, although he loves everybody. You are the one that will make yourself available for God to use you. Hear these words. When God wanted to help Israel, he spent Moses. Men are currencies in the spirit. He wanted to help Israel come out of captivity for several years. Who did he spend? Moses. He wanted to save the whole world from sin. He spent one man, Jesus Christ. If God would take your family out of that misery, if God would take your nation, your society out of that misery, you can increase your purchasing power by tarrying in the secret place. By the word and the spirit. As you stay with God, with the Holy Spirit, you increase your purchasing power and become that hard-earned currency that God can use to deliver your family, that God can use to deliver your city, that God can use to deliver your nation. I hope you are hearing me tonight. God can use you. Are you willing? If you are willing, you will not have a lot of friends. If you are willing, you will not watch everything on TV. And Pastor Simon, it's going to be hard. It's not going to be hard. The ability is already on you. And it's in you. It's on you. It's in you. Are you listening to me? The grace of God has appeared to all men, teaching them to say what? Listen, the grace of God is so powerful. It stops smoking. It kills the ability for weed. You just tell yourself, I'm a new creation. That's all. And when you go back, you go with the faith that you are a new creation, with the consciousness that you are a new creation. A new creation cannot do old things. The Bible said in Romans 6, 6, it said, that old body, put it up for me. It said, that old body of sin, that old body in the Amplified Rendition. It said, knowing this, that our old man in the Amplified Rendition. I want everybody to read. One, to go. We know that our old self, our human nature, was nailed to the cross. In order that our body of sin might what? So that we will no longer be what? Slaves. Say, I'm no longer a slave to sin. Shout it, say, I'm no longer a slave to sin. That's what the Bible said. You are not a slave. Get excited about it. Why? That old nature of sin has been crucified back to the cross. He died for you to live. He didn't die for you to die. Jesus cannot die and you still walk in sin. It's not possible. You know why? You died with him. Listen to what the Bible said in verse 8. Verse 8, put it up for us. Verse 8, it says, now if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also what? Live together with him. Look at verse 7. Verse 7, it says, for the person who has what? Has been what? Say, I'm free in the name of Jesus. It is not going to be free. Freed. I told you one time that my father one day was teaching us, he's here, was teaching us English. He always add aid. I will never forget those days. Freed. Not free. Going to be free. We have been freed. If you are free, say amen. We are free. Isn't God so beautiful, people of God? The devil is a liar. He has come but to steal, kill, and destroy. Are you seeing the wonderful work of creation? Are you seeing the wonderful work of the cross? No wonder Jesus said, if you can look at the cross, you can live again. Because of the cross, you see Satan totally defeated. You may have the pain from the serpent, the sting of death in you. He said, just like Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so will the Son of Man be lifted up on the cross. The serpent bit them. The sting of death was inside. The sting was dead, was there. The Bible said, when Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, what happened? Bronze was the color for victory in those days. Are you listening to me? When they look at When they look at the bronze, you know, the bronze serpent crafted up there, the Bible said the effect was there, the sting was there in their body, but it had no effect on them. Pastor, I've been addicted for several years. Look at the cross. In fact, we can even look at you after you look at the cross and we'll see your mouth black, which is evident that you smoke. But people will wonder, why is it that he doesn't smoke again? When there's police here on the road, they'll say, look at your mouth, you smoke. You say, no, I don't smoke. But look at the evidence. You say, you can find the evidence, but no effect. I don't smoke. Jesus said, look at my hand. You can see the nail, right? Is that not where they choke me? That's where they choke the nail, isn't it? They said, yes. What of this body? New body. The nail is there. The sign is there. No pain. No pain. Are you hearing me tonight? No pain. There's a statement that says, no pain, no gain. No, here is different. He took our pain. Now we are in the gain. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're in the gain. The gain of glory. Say, my life is full of glory. I mean, you can't hear these things. I don't want to burst with. You know, you just feel like you are almost going to explode with the glory of God. Say, I'm full of the glory of God. I can never find myself in weakness. No, it's not possible. Because I'm full of the Holy Ghost. Now say, you mountains standing before me, in the name of Jesus, I come to you in the name of Jesus, and I declare, get out now, get out now, get out now, get out. And so shall it be. Woo, glory to God. Glory to God. You just wake up in the morning, I can't sin, I can't sin. No, it's not possible. I'm different. I'm different. I'm holy, holy, sanctified. Oh, I've been purchased with the precious blood of Jesus. I'm new. I'm new. I'm the apple of his eyes. I'm the apple of his eyes. I'm the best thing that's ever happened to heaven. Oh, glory to God. I'm seated far, far. I can't tell how far, but very far. Far, 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 far above the mountains of life. Far above principalities. Far above powers. Far above the sting of death. Far above sin. Far above sickness. In the name of Jesus, I decree and I declare, every form of sickness in your body, in the body of anybody related to you, those watching online, I declare, every form of sickness, die now in the name of Jesus. I told some people to watch us online tonight, and I declare, you spirit of cancer, I declare you are dead now from your roots in the name of Jesus. Parado kabasa. You know, we pray for someone and God touched her and somehow they made a mistake. The same evil people came somehow and they were able to touch them again. I heard the report. They didn't know when they brought food and, you know, they collected the doctor's number and started finding out. Same evil people. And while I was praying, the Lord said, tell them to watch the service tonight. Now I declare judgment. You know I'm talking to you. I declare judgment. Watching online, I declare judgment. Libros katamblida tos kabai. Lira soprendia kaflonzi brahai. La pronde kabashala. The Lord says the blood is flowing back. The Lord says the blood is gushing back. The Lord says the blood is gushing back. It's gushing from me to you. The Lord said it's gushing from me to you. The Lord says it's gushing from me. It's gushing. I declare life in your system. I declare life in your system. I declare life in your system. And in the name of Jesus, I cause a cloud of glory around you. A cloud of glory. A cloud of glory. I declare angels on assignment. I deploy angels. I deploy angels. I deploy angels. Right now, there's evidence. Right now, there's evidence. Right now, there's evidence. And I declare a sanction of the enemies. I declare a sanction of the opposition. In the name of Jesus. So shall it be. So shall it be. If they are hearing me, I told them to follow. The Lord just deployed angels around you. The Lord just caused the blood to be replaced. I hear this in my spirit. It says the testimony now is better than the testimony before. Woo! Thank you, Lord. The Bible said, I will replace what the caker worms, the tapeworms have stolen. What Jesus does is permanent and is eternal. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And he says, as we say these words, you shall trample upon snakes and scorpions, and they shall by no means touch you. And I feel like just saying this word to all of us here. If you are here under the sound of my voice, and anything darkness, anything Satan, from your root, from wherever, I don't know, is opposing your success, is opposing your victory, in the name of Jesus, under this glorious atmosphere, I cause an end to it, in the name of Jesus. I speak an end to it, in the name of Jesus. I prophesy long-term chains are broken. Long-term chains are broken. Long-term chains are broken. Thus says the Lord Almighty, the door is open. It's your time to go in. It's your time to enter. It's your time to enter into success. It's your time to enter into victory. In the name of Jesus. And I say this without no fear, in all humility, in the name of Jesus, that if you are here under the sound of my voice, Bala Brunde Kafar, any form of sickness in your body, woo, glory, every form of sickness in your body, Oli bringas koflaharia kondi blahashat, lerendo kobria takaba, they are disintegrating now, just disintegrating now, they are disintegrating now, 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 now. It's wearing off. It's wearing off. That pain. If it's your eye, it's getting out. That demon of infirmity, of color blindness. That, oh my God, it's going out. It's going out. Lembros katambrande cobra te lendo shabaya. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Woo! Ah, and because God is the greatest power, we shall never be defeated. And because God is the greatest power, we shall never be. And because God, and because is a great, we shall never. And because God, greatest power, we shall never, we ever come up, and because of, we shall never. The devil is a liar. God is never been dead. The devil is a liar. God is a soul. Never been defeated. Yeah! will never be defeated. One more time. The devil is a liar. God is a soldier. I will never be defeated. Never be defeated. And because God is the greatest power, oh, thank you, Lord, we will never. And because God is me, hey, we will never. I will never be the same after your grace. My life has changed. I will never be after your grace. My life, I will never lose. I will never be that your grace. Everybody, yeah, I will never be
words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.